Welcome to the Frisco Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Ellis, and this week we're hanging out with Ashley Miller. All right, Ashley, welcome to the Frisco Podcast.
Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you here today.
Yeah.
So you're all over the place in Frisco. You're doing a whole bunch of stuff here.
Yes.
First of all, how long have you been in Frisco?
I actually moved to Frisco in 2009. I graduated college on a Tuesday and intended to move to Dallas on that Thursday, but ended up in Frisco, and I haven't left a day since.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
Well, glad to have you here for sure. You are, I guess, to an extent, the face of the Legends as an announcer.
Yes.
You are campaign manager for Jeff Chaney, who's running for mayor.
Yes.
You are involved in some different philanthropic endeavors that we're going to talk about. You do a radio show. You've got a whole bunch of stuff going on.
I do.
How did you get into this whole media thing that you're doing? Where did that begin for you?
Yeah, it's a great question. So in my hometown, I'm from a podunk town in Louisiana called West Monroe, Louisiana, about 4 hours from here. I actually had the opportunity to do post-game sports reporting for Channel 10. That was the NBC affiliate in my town, and just kind of fell in love with the media perspective growing up in the world of sports in a very sports-centric family. And I learned really quick that not too many of my girlfriends knew a lot about sports, and just kind of had a natural knack for loving to talk, shocker, right? And when I realized you could get paid for really reporting and talking about my passion for sports, it was just kind of a natural fit for me, and really wanted to expand upon it and bring it to a bigger market, and got to Dallas as quick as I could, specifically Frisco, and was blessed to really get to know Donnie very well. And you know, he's told me a million times he's never really met an individual that could do the media side and the sales side. And so it's just kind of been a dream opportunity for me to take my education. I was a mass comm major, and make it a reality and a dream come true.
Very good. So for everybody out there, as a testament to those capabilities that Donnie recognized in you, and he seems to be very good at that, by the way. He's got a lot of good people here at the Legends. But if I understand correctly, you were the first female vice president in NBA D-League history.
Yes,
right?
Yes, absolutely.
And you got promoted this last year.
I did, yeah. And kind of the neat thing behind it was, you know, it never was about first for me. It was never about, you know, certainly not doing something that no one else had done before. It really was just about paving the way. You know, Donnie, and I don't know if you had the opportunity to attend the Frisco sports luncheons that have happened the last couple of years, but we were blessed to welcome Charlotte Jones Anderson to this last one that we did for the city. And, you know, she made a point to stop in the middle of that luncheon and thank Donnie for what he's been able to do, not only for herself, but women in sports in general. All began season one with Nancy Lieberman, you know, the first female coach in NBA history, much less D-League history. And Donnie's just good at that. I mean, Donnie doesn't see gender. He just sees a person, and he sees their abilities and their work ethic and their integrity. And it's been great for me to align myself with him, because obviously it not only brought the promotion into fruition, but really was able to pave the way for a lot of women.
Good. Well, kudos to Donnie as well. Just another reason to love that guy. He's doing great stuff here.
Absolutely.
First of all, what is your technical title as VP? VP of what?
Yeah, so Vice President of Business Development. You know, the unique thing about the D-League is that we all kind of wear 20 hats, right? So it's just an elevated janitor title. Malcolm likes to say that. Our team president says that quite frequently. But essentially, my role internally in the office, if you will, like a 9-to-5, more of a 7-to-midnight job Monday through Friday, is the sales team. I'm responsible for the sales for the team. So a common misconception is people think that since I've received this promotion, I'm not responsible for sales. Well, I still have all my own sales goals, so keep the leads coming. But I'm directly responsible now for the sales team, which is a huge opportunity for me. I've always really enjoyed kind of the teaching and training aspect to it. But now that I'm able to build my own team and kind of construct what I think is truly the backbone of our organization, it's been really neat. So I'll do all the business development, the sales, the marketing, and to your point, the media as well.
Okay. So yeah, you're still doing the in-game announcements or?
Yeah. So I do all the television for the team. Mm-hmm. So whether it's local, you know, KTXD, or if it's Fox Sports Southwest, and even in some cases ESPN, you'll have the opportunity to see me interview our sponsors and charities at halftime, and in some cases during the games as well.
Very good. Yeah. Very good. Well, congratulations and keep trucking.
Thank you.
So did you take over for Drew?
I didn't really take over for Drew. So Drew was the vice president of corporate sponsorships.
Okay.
And while I certainly have a lot of that in my role, as we all do, you know, his role required somebody that didn't not necessarily want the community presence, but really from a time allocation, they were someone that needed to be in the office on a full-time basis. So it was a better fit for me to have them kind of create a role that still allowed for me to your point, kind of be the face of the organization, but handle the inner workings as well.
Okay, very good.
No one can replace Drew, so we miss him very much.
We do miss him. He was a good guy, but I think he had a good opportunity that he wanted to pursue.
Heck yeah,
so we wish him well.
Yeah.
We wish him well. All right, so for everybody out there listening, if you don't have tickets to the Legends, if you, especially if you've never been to a game, just come out. They're a blast. It's a very family-friendly event. Mm. Lots of good things going on, and you know, reach out to Ashley and tell her you want tickets. And if you want to do a sponsorship, if you're a business here in town, they do phenomenal networking. There's a every first.
So first Tuesday happy hour, rotates to the different restaurant partners. Second Wednesday lunch, that's always here at the arena, but we bring in a different speaker every month. And then third Thursday breakfast. So with the exception of 1 week in the month, you'll be blessed by our presence in one way or another. So you've got happy hour, lunch, and breakfast.
It's really one of the best networking things going on around town, I think. I've met so many people through it. I've brought a few into the fold as well. And everybody I talk to, when they ask about Lifestyle Frisco, one of the first things they often ask now is if we're a part of the Legends family, if
awesome.
We go to the Legends event. So that the word is getting
it's
out.
It's working.
For sure.
Great.
Yeah, it is.
Great.
It is. Good stuff. So, all right, let's move on and talk a little bit about the radio show, since we're in the media-centric conversation here. You host, is it a weekly show or is it?
It is weekly. So with KVGI Radio, right here in Frisco, Texas, my show is on Thursdays from 12 to 1. It's called What's for Lunch with Ashley Miller. It's a common misconception, again, that it is a food-based show, both because of the name of the show, but also the time in which it airs. The reality of it is, you know, we chose Thursdays at noon. Mark Warner, who is the station director there and kind of founder and CEO of all things KVGI. But when we were brainstorming the show, you know, he said, look, the hard part with you is going to be a day and a time where you don't have anything. And I said, well, look, it doesn't exist. I said, but I can promise you this. If it's on my calendar, it'll happen. And so we just kind of placed a day and a time out on the calendar, and it worked where Thursday at noon was a good time. And, you know, we went through all these different iterations of a name for the show. And what really made the most sense is that you never really knew what you were going to get. People always ask me, you know, well, when I tune in, what's the standard format? Or if I'm, you know, honored to have someone as a guest, they say, well, what should I expect? And I always tell them, look, I think the best on my feet. So it's going to be kind of what you see is what you get, and what you hear is what you get, right? So What's for Lunch just kind of stuck because people would always say, well, what's happening today on the show? What's going on the show? Who's on the show? And I said, I guess you'll see at lunch, you know? So it was pretty cool. What's for Lunch with Ashley Miller kind
so
of stuck.
So expect the unexpected.
Exactly.
And is that online as well?
It is online. So the cool thing about it is you can go out to SoundCloud. All the shows are on demand. So it kind of becomes a podcast, if you will, which is the great thing about having the guest on the show, because they can then in turn take those interviews or that fun time that we have and utilize it for social media or any type of marketing that they choose to.
Very good.
Yeah.
So the radio show, how long have you been doing that now?
It's been just shy of 2 years, so it's been quite some time.
Long.
Yeah.
Okay, so just so people have some frame of reference, maybe cue up a couple of recent episodes you've done. Who was on there? What did you talk about? Just give people an idea.
Absolutely. So it's a very sports-centric show, as you might imagine. The one thing that I require everyone to indulge in are my sports teams. And being from Louisiana, of course, I'm an LSU fan. I'm a Saints fan. It's a rough year to be a Louisiana sports fan, but Kind of the unique thing about that is we didn't have a professional baseball team. So by the grace of God, you kind of either watched WGN or TBS and you were a Braves fan or a Cubs fan. Since the day
That's
I was born, I've
about.
Been a Cubs fan, and it's a fun year to be a Cubs fan. So everyone is forced to indulge in my favorite sports teams because I spend a lot of my time recapping what's going on in those organizations. But I do always give a Legends update. You know better than anyone with y'all's involvement with our family that there's so much going on year round. And so whether it's kind of the two cornerstones of the Legends are community and basketball. So during the season, I can talk players, talk coaches, talk games, how we fare. And then out of the season, it's what we're doing in the community as well as during the season. And so the first 15 or 20 minutes or so are usually very sports centric. And then I'll utilize kind of the second half of the show to highlight somebody in the Legends family, somebody from the Frisco community. I'm really passionate about trying to bridge partnerships and help people grow their business or whatever it is they're trying to accomplish. And I think the show does a great job of that.
I love that. And I love that you're able to tie that back into the Legends families and the partners there and, you know, everybody that gets involved.
Yeah.
There's definitely, I don't want to sound like this is just a big ad for getting involved with the Legends, but there's so many benefits, direct and indirect, to doing so that I would encourage all these businesses to definitely think about
it. I appreciate it. Put the ad out there.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
We'll be talking about it plenty.
I like
believe
it.
Me. We do. Okay, let's move on because you also, in addition to the two jobs we've already talked about,
yes.
You were the campaign manager for Jeff Cheney, who's running for mayor.
I am. And, you know, I like to say Jeff will be the next mayor of Frisco. So if we have anything to do with it, he'll certainly assume that title soon.
And how did you fall into that role?
You know, so it's kind of a funny story. So Justin and I, we have always been kind of in Frisco ISD, but we really wanted to move closer to the heart of Frisco. And certainly in my world, I consider Dr. Pepper Arena and the ballpark and kind of this side, the star, you know, the heart of Frisco, although Jeff may argue it's Main Street and I'm okay with that. But we were looking for a new house and met Jeff because there's several realtors within the Legends family, as you know, and I really wanted to do my due diligence and sat down with every individual person. And the one thing that stuck out to me about Jeff is that he was the first person that really made it about us. I mean, he took out a sheet of paper and he said, and it was kind of like a football coach, he was drawing up plays, but he said, all right, where do you go to Starbucks? What Starbucks do you go to? Where do you get your groceries? You know, where do both of you drive to work? What do you like to do on a Tuesday night? What do you like to do on a Saturday night? And he just kind of drew this map of Frisco and he said, now, where is it again that you guys said you wanted to live? And I said, you know, I really, maybe Uptown, maybe Addison. We love Frisco. We love Dallas. And he said, no. He said, you need to live right here in Frisco. And I said, Jeff, I don't think that's a good spot for us. And he said, well, then maybe I'm not the right realtor for you. And I just gained so much respect for him because it wasn't about just trying to get the sale. It wasn't about just trying to you know, get us the highest, the biggest bid on a house, right? Or the most expensive house. It was about finding something that was the right fit for us. And he told us no more often than we wanted to hear. And we would send him several homes we just knew we wanted. And he talked us out of every one. And I can truly say that we found our dream home and we love everything about it.
And you stayed here in Frisco.
We did, which
That's
is the most
important
thing. And I'll tell you, the funny thing is when we started that home search, it was the beginning of my Leadership Frisco tenure. And as a graduate of Leadership Frisco, a proud graduate of class 19, I can tell you there's nowhere else in the world I would want to live now that I've kind of learned the inner workings of the city and realized just how fortunate we are to be here. But you know, Jeff was so adamant about, you know, not only before, during, and after that process being a leader to us, but he became a good friend as well. And so we were at lunch one day kind of celebrating the close of the home with the entire Cheney group. And he said, you know, you really are such an important person to the city. And he said, you guys have become such good friends of ours. He said, would you consider doing PR for the Cheney group? And I said, I would love to do that. I said, look, I don't want you to pay me a dime. If all I can do for you is tell the story of how you helped us and how effective and efficient the process was, you know, whatever I can do, sign me up. And so a couple weeks into that role, you know, and it was a great thing to do with Donnie as well, because if I'm going to be out in the community, I can tell the Legend story, I can tell the Cheney story. So it worked well. But a couple weeks into that role, we were at lunch again, and he said, you know, I'm going to do this mayor thing. And I said, well, I've heard, you know, but it's kind of cool to really have the inside track. And he said, you know, it makes a lot of sense for me to have not only someone that we consider family, but someone that does PR for our organization that knows me and knows my commitment to this community, not only as a resident, but as a small business owner. He said, to really step up and be this person, would you be willing to do it? And I said, Jeff, I've never done anything like that before. I said, but at the end of the day, I said, you could pay me $1 million or not pay me a dime. And a lot of people think it's a common misconception, again, that this is a paid position. It's not. It's completely volunteer, that I get to represent him and that I get to be responsible for who will inevitably be the next mayor of Frisco.
So wow.
It's a blessing.
The biggest question is, where do you find the time?
You know, the thing about it is, the really unique thing about the Legends, I'll start with that, is that I love sports and I love the community. So I would be out doing these things anyways. So it kind of, I have to wake myself up and I feel like I'm pinching myself all the time that I get paid to do what I love. But the same thing is true for Jeff. I mean, you know him better than anybody, right? He's a very community-centric guy and he's out in the community all the time. He's got his hands kind of in everything and that's why I love him so much. But the cool thing about being able to represent Jeff is that he would be out doing these things in the community anyways. And now it's making sure that he's at the right place at the right time. And, you know, that a lot of people are just aware of really his passion for this community and just his passion as an individual. And so for me, it's not about finding the time. It's really about being more strategic with my time because now it seems more meaningful, probably more so than ever.
Yeah, that sounds good. We wish you guys well.
Thank you. Thank
you. I know that's it probably feels like a long way to May, but it'll be here before you know it.
Oh, yeah, it will. It's amazing. It seemed like all this campaign stuff was just so far, you know, beyond our reach. And it's amazing. Like you said, you kind of blink and you wake up and it's here. So
I'm sure we're going to come back and talk about that because we tend to do a lot of local election coverage. I'm a big, big advocate of getting people out to vote local.
Absolutely.
So important. And unfortunately, the numbers are often far below what we would like them to in terms of the number of eligible voters getting out.
Right.
So we're going to be pushing on that pretty hard. However, given the fatigue people have from the election we just came out of, we're going to give it a little rest. And maybe after the first of the year, we'll start ramping
that
up.
Good, good, good.
So last but not least, before we started recording, you and I were talking about a charity that you were involved with.
Yes.
And something that you have done that I think not a lot of people would know, and there's no reason they should, but is kind of a big deal.
Absolutely.
Not kind of. It is a very big deal.
Yeah.
And why don't you talk a little bit about what you did, who you're involved with, and especially for those that are interested in getting involved themselves, how they can do so.
Yeah. Thank you so much for allowing me to do so. So I really would love to be a bigger advocate than I am for this. So this is probably a very good first step. But in college, I actually had the opportunity. It was one of those things, I'm sure you remember these, your fraternity or your sorority would volunteer in the community in some way. And we were doing a drive at the University of Louisiana at Monroe. I was a FIMU, proud FIMU. And we were doing a bone marrow drive. And for a lot of people that may not have the knowledge, you know, I showed up thinking I've got to donate blood or it's going to be some, you know, just extremely intrusive process to get on the bone marrow registry. There was a little boy in our hometown that really needed a bone marrow transplant. So much to my surprise and much to the majority of the general public's surprise, it's a 15-second swab. You essentially take a Q-tip and you swab the inside of both cheeks and you're done. That's it. You do it yourself. Nobody does it to you. You drop it in a Ziploc bag and you're on your way. And you are in that registry for years. I mean, years. So it's not something you have to do that frequently. But I did it in college, kind of forgot about it. You know, it was very unfortunate that nobody in our hometown was a match for this little boy. But moved to Dallas. And in 2012, I'd been here a few years. I got a call from California. And this was kind of another lesson to be learned. I got several missed calls from this number from California. And I'm like, this telemarketer will not leave me alone. So finally, one day, I decided to pick it up. And I was just going to say, like, look, unsubscribe, whatever I need to do. And it ended up being the National Bone Marrow Registry. And they said, look, there is a 1 in 4 million chance that you'll ever be, you know, as much as a 1% potential match, but you are a 100% match for this individual. Legally, you can't know anything about the individual except for their age and their gender and then what it is that they're suffering from. So all I was able to know is there was a lady that did not live in the state of Texas who was 33 years old and she had leukemia. and she had 3 months to live without a marrow transplant. She'd been through chemo, she'd been through radiation. You know, would I be interested in doing some additional testing to see if indeed I was healthy enough to donate bone marrow? And you know, it's one of those things where my entire life, I was homecoming queen and I did a couple pageants growing up, but I never had a talent. I mean, I think I can dance. I'm not a very good dancer. I know I can't sing. And so I've always kind of searched for, you know, what is my mission? What is my meaning? Right. And it became very clear to me that if indeed I was going to be healthy enough to do this, that maybe this was my superpower and this is what I was meant to do. And so I went in for the testing and it turned out indeed I was healthy enough, 100% match for her. So there's two ways to donate bone marrow. One is a new procedure where you can do kind of a transfusion, if you will. So almost like giving a blood transfusion. Very simple, quick, and easy. The doctors, in the case of the patient who's suffering, will make a recommendation as to which method of bone marrow is a better transplant. And it turned out for me, it was going to be easier for her. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. It would be easier for her to do a surgery. So the surgery is, and without getting too detailed, and I apologize for having to do that, but the surgery itself is actually, they drill into your hip bone and they hammer into the center of that bone, and that's where they extract the marrow. And so I actually had the opportunity to donate at Cook Children's, which was such a great experience. And went in, had the surgery. They typically take it from one side or the other. In my particular case, my recipient was a little bit heavier than I was, so they actually took from both sides of my body. And you know, it's a very painful surgery.
That's what I've heard.
I would love to tell you that it wasn't. It was a very, very painful surgery. I can remember going under. I remember waking up. I remember meeting the pilot, because a lot of the legal process, they really like for the donor to be at least aware to see their marrow go into the ice chest, and then you meet the pilot. I remember being in recovery. I have a vague memory of the pilot, but it was very important from a legal standpoint that I did meet him. And then you have 24 hours to get that marrow into the plane and into the actual recipient. The other thing that a lot of people don't realize is they put the recipient into what they call terminal radiation. So they have like a 24-hour time period to get it in them, or they don't survive. I mean, they pull all of the marrow out of their body, and without your marrow in their body, they can't take a breath. They can't open their eyes. And so, you know, you have this very crucial time period from when that begins with that person and before you go into surgery. If I had, you know, broken a finger or gotten a paper cut even that got infected and I wasn't able to donate, they couldn't have taken my marrow and she wouldn't have survived. But it's a risk that they're willing to take. And it was the easiest thing that I've ever done in my life. I mean, your bone marrow regenerates itself something like within 72 hours. And so within 72 hours, I was, you know, you relearn a lot of things. I had to kind of remember how to walk, and you get through the pain. But I mean, to know, all I was allowed to know is that the marrow made it. I can't know, you know, did she survive? Did she not survive? All that good stuff until a year after the actual surgery. And so a year to the day, she reached out to me on Facebook, and oddly enough, her last name was Miller. So oh, I'm wow. Like, well, we're family now, you know, literally my marrow is inside your body. But she survived. She went back to work. You know, she was able to get married. It's just remarkable the things that she's been able to accomplish in her life because of my marrow. And tomorrow or this week, I actually have the opportunity to MC the DKMS gala that they do every year. And I'm just so excited to have that opportunity, because again, I really feel like I could be a better and a bigger advocate for bone marrow donation. But what you don't find is when people are, you know, volunteering in the community for a cause such as that, more often than not, they've never had the opportunity to actually go through the process. And they get more questions than anything about, is it painful? Does it hurt? What does it mean? What does it entail? And to be able to be someone that's lived through it and been able to save somebody's life, I think it's going to be a really cool opportunity to kind of be a face for that organization.
Yeah, your experience certainly makes it a much more compelling story when people hear it.
Yeah.
Wow. So for people that might want to get involved, how can they do so?
Yeah, so you can, DKMS is all over social media. It's the letters DKMS. So go on social media, follow their mission. It's very simple to do, especially on Facebook. They're always checking in where they're going to be, posting where the drives are. Or you can just go online. If you go to, I believe it's dkms.org, it can tell you how to donate. You can literally request it mailed to your house, and then you can mail it out if you don't have the opportunity to do it on site. Again, it's just the cotton swabs and the Ziploc bag, and it comes with the instructions. But it's one of those opportunities. If I ask people all the time, if you could save somebody's life, wouldn't you want to do it? And it's remarkable that just in an hour surgery, I was able to give somebody, you know, a lifetime. So
it's fantastic.
It's a great cause, and I'm super excited to be a part of it.
Well, good. We're going to find all of those social links, websites, the whole nine yards. We'll link it up in the show notes so people can easily find it.
Perfect.
If people want to find you, if they want to follow along with what Ashley's doing,
yes.
Where's the best place for them to do
yeah,
that?
Yeah, so, you know, I'm pretty good on Instagram. I can say that just because I think that a picture speaks a thousand words, right? So I try to do my best at kind of journeying blogging my journey, if you will, on Instagram. I do have a Twitter, but I just kind of link it directly from Instagram. So I would say Instagram is the best way to do it. I think it's Ashley_Miller32.
I believe it is.
Is my name on there. But, you know, I'm out on Facebook as well. But really just follow the legends. We're textlegends.org. So it's textlegends.com. It's T-E-X. Because, again, love to be a face of that organization, and wherever the legends are going to be, you can bet your hard-earned dollar I'll be with them. So.
Well, Ashley, thank you so much for spending some time with us today. In so many ways, I think you sum up the spirit of what I think about as being Frisco. You're so involved with the community, very locally focused, certainly have the caring and giving nature that you know, I like to think about people in Frisco having. We've seen people here step up so many times for so many different occasions. So I think you're a good representative for all of us.
Well, thank you. I certainly appreciate that. And what an honor to be on the podcast today.
Oh, well,
so thank you so much for having me.
You bet. All right. Everybody else, as always, you can find us at lifestylefrisco.com/podcast. So come out and be sure you've subscribed on iTunes. You can find links there. We'll have links to everything we mentioned in the show notes. And we'll talk to you next week.